time again. I'll start with the first Northern Lights I ever saw. About 2 hours north of here in Albany, maybe even a little bit less, is where I spent all of my summers, my family up there. And so as I was growing up, of course, I'd be 10, 12 years old, I first saw the Northern Lights. They were beautiful, but they were not smokeable. So we saw them, we saw the Northern Lights, and we saw it would be very exciting when on the nights they'd say, hey, you can see the Northern Lights tonight, you can see the Northern Lights. I never knew how much that was gonna actually mean to me, eventually. I guess it was really when I got to music school that I found out what Northern Lights was really all about. It was my first day of music school. I was a young buck, very confused in the big city. It was actually right across from where I grew up, so it wasn't that confusing, but so I was in the bookstore and I was buying, when in music school you don't buy books, you buy CDs, that's the good. I was in the bookstore and I was buying CDs, and I must have looked confused because this kid came up to me and he was like, hey, how you doing, man? I was like, pretty good. He's like, what's your name? I said, my name's Mark. He said, hi, I'm Neil. I said, hey, Neil, man, nice to meet you. He said, is this your first day at music school? I said, yeah, this is my first day. And he said, hey, I'll show you the ropes. Why don't you come outside with me? So I stepped outside, and boy, did I never know what was about to hit me. And I'd smoked before, don't get me wrong. But this kid, and I didn't know where he was getting it from, but he busts something out and he goes, here you go, buddy. There you go. I said, holy shit, what the fuck is that? He said, that, my young friend, is Northern Lights 5, Crossed with Haze. Me and Neil, we twisted one up. I don't remember what happened after that. That's really where the story ends. But it's also where the story begins. Because it started my love affair with Northern Lights 5, Cross Haze, which has since become known as Cough, and has recently been crossed with Strawberry and this and that and everything, and so, all these years. So I'm gonna fast forward a lot of years, and this is basically all about the close calls that we have every single day. Because if you know me, and I know some of you do, and if you know that guy, and if you know this guy, and that guy, and pretty much all you guys, we've all had a lot of close calls with the police. So last night, me and Magda were driving up here from the city, right? We went to our friend's party. We just got married recently. We hit Route 17. We stopped for a little food. I was on Route 17 driving up. I wanted to catch 87 North. And Magda looks at me and he goes, hey, Brownstein, what's going on? We're not smoking pot. So I said, here you go. I busted out just a touch of Northern Lights that I've been saving. Just a touch. We rolled it up, we puffed a little, we put it down, we puffed a little more. I was driving really carefully. I was driving really carefully because I didn't want to go to jail because I wanted to be here with you guys tonight. So we got up to Clifton Park. My car, it's a good thing. I didn't want to get pulled over because if we got pulled over, I thought there was a very good chance that I would go to jail. But we pulled off the exit, and we were just sitting there. I didn't realize at first how long we were sitting there. Finally, I turned to Magna and I was like, hey dude, what the fuck is going on here, man? We've been sitting here for like 6 minutes. This light is never gonna change. So I said to him, I said, I think it's got something to do with the lights. So I backed up 20 feet and I started flashing my brights. And he said to me, that's urban myth, my man. Urban myth. It's not urban myth. It's fucking true. They've got sensors on it. And it didn't do anything. It's a true story.
It's all true.
This is all true. And so, usually I'm just bullshitting with you here, but this is all true. And so Magnor looks at me and he goes, what are you going to do? And I said, well, we can't sit here all night in this fucking light. So I said, all right, do you see any cars? We hadn't seen a car in like 5 minutes. I was like, I don't see any cars. He's like, I don't see any cars. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bust this light. So I look around at him. And right as I pull through the light, lo and behold, the first car that I've seen in like 10 fucking minutes pulls out from a block down this way. I look at Magnor and I go, I really hope that's not a cop. I really hope that's not a cop. So I gun it. I'm just like. I gun it. I go down this block, around this curve, and as I go around this curve, I see the car turn onto the block that I turned on, and I said, fuck! Fuck, there's no way that he would be following me for any reason other than him being a state trooper. So I gun it. Magnor goes, good time to make up a little time. We're like 5 fucking feet from our hotel after a 3-hour drive. And I pull that move. We've all pulled it. We go really fast. And then you turn in somewhere hoping that the cop isn't going to see you. So I turned into the hotel. And I pulled up into that little area where you check in. And right as I stopped, I saw the car pulling behind me. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and it was a straight state trooper, lo and behold. So he pulls up, he comes over, and he says, license and registration. I give him my license, I give him my registration, which is, it's a rental car. So he looks at my license, and he looks at my registration, and he says, why does your address say California over here, and your address says Brooklyn on this thing here? And I said, I really don't know. I gotta be honest, I have no idea how the rental car plays. It must have something to do with the insurance, the corporate insurance. They send it in, and the cop says, do you rent from this place often? And I said, I rent from this place all the time. He says, that, my friend, is an acceptable answer. So he was cool. Then he peers in with his flashlight, and he looks around, and there's like a Coke. Magnor ordered a Coke, like a 32-ounce Coke. And there's this little thing on the top of the Coke. And he flashes the light on it, and he goes, son, step out of the car and step away from the car. I said, Jesus Christ, Magnor, you gotta throw the fucking roaches away, man. And so I step out of the car, and he sticks his head in the car, and we all know this feeling, right? Cop's got his head in a car that you just smoked a joint in. I said, it's over, I'm going to jail. The cop takes this thing, takes this cup, pulls it out, peers at what me and Magnor were absolutely sure was a roach. And he looks again, and he goes, oh, that's just a bit of chew. That's just a bit of chew. And I was like, yes, that's just a bit of chew. Puts the thing down. Says, do you know why I pulled you over tonight? And I said to him, of course, I ran this red light. I was sitting there forever. What am I supposed to do? He says, you know what you're supposed to do when the light is red. And I was like, but, he says, but I know what you mean. And so anyway, my heart's beating like 1,000 mile a minute. But the good news is, we're all here together tonight.